And where are we up to? This week is Parshas Shmos. I want to start with a Hasidic Shavart. I would normally not tell you this Shavart, but it struck me that it's a good Shavart because of the end of the Parsha. Now, what do I mean? It's follows. It says in the Parsha, Vayaka Melech Chodosh, Vayisimu Olav, sorry, Mitzim, Laman, Anasim, Sevoisam, Vayiv, Vayiv, Mitzchonos, Vachasher, Yanu, Oso, no, let's go back. Uvnei Yisrael poru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimod meod vatimolei haaretz osam. Beautiful pasuk. Klal Yisrael, they increased in number. Chazal tell us shisha bekeres echad. A woman would give birth to 6 children in one shot. Tremendous bracha, tremendous ribui in Klal Yisrael. Poru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimod meod. The Mefarshim have a little Drush. What's the drush? What does it mean? Bimod meod, very much. There's one place in Chazal, we find the word meod meod. That is in Pirkei Avos, where it says meod meod have shval ruach, humility. Chazal tells us generally a person should always stay in the middle. Don't go to the extremes. Don't be too stingy. Don't be too generous. Don't get too angry. Don't be too easygoing. You have to always stick to the middle road. That's the klal in life. There's only one exception. When it comes to humility, a person is allowed and should go to the extreme. Me'od, me'od, heve shifol ruach. A person should be extremely humble. And that's what the pasuk says. When Klal Yisrael, when they increased in number, they lived in Mitzrayim under the influence of Yaakov, at least in the beginning, and then under the influence of the Shvatim until a certain point in time, until it came down to the Shibud. Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu. They became powerful in what midah? Bimeod meod, in the midah of humility. Okay, it's a very nice fart, but you know, you could probably say these type of erlach all over the parasha. You can say every few words, you can find the word, you can make some type of gzera shava, you can take some word in chazal and make some somewhere. Why does this appeal to me? Why does this resonate with me? Because at the end of the parasha, in the middle of the parasha, at the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem says to Moshe, V'nosati eschein ha'om hazeh be'enei Mitzrayim. One of the major elements of Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be not just that you leave, you're going to leave with chen. The Egyptians are going to look upon you as special people. Chen is a very beautiful word. Chen, grace, favor. Matnas, you like a person. Chen comes from the word chinam. You like a person just for no reason whatsoever. Just because you like them. Matnas chinam. Mitzrayim will find chen. Klal Yisrael will find chen in the eyes of Mitzrayim. What do we know about chen? What does it say in the pasuk? Pasuk in Mishle, it was in the Daf Yomi this week. Ule anovim yitain chen. To a person who is humble, Hashem gives the bracha of chen. It's something which is supernatural. You can't define it scientifically. Why do people, if you take a poll, does a certain politician do people like? And why do other politicians, how come they're not liked? French. But the politician that people like, he has the worst record. He's committed all the worst crimes. The answer is, it's a gift. It's a gift that cannot be defined scientifically. Ule anav, Nakalish Baruch, we learn in Chazal, they know where that gift comes from. It comes from anava. Anava, to a certain degree, is synonymous with Yiras Shemayim. Ekev anava, Yiras Hashem. The secret, it's a cycle. The secret to anava is Yiras Shemayim. If you're a true Yiras Shemayim, you earn anava. And through anava, you come ul anava mitein chen. Therefore, now we can understand the beginning of the parasha to the end of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha begins, Shmos begins, the beginning of the Sefer Gula begins, Klal Yisrael begins with Uvinei Yisrael, Paru, Vayishritzu, Vayiru, Vayatzmu. And what is this all defined in? B'me'od me'od. Me'od me'od have shval ruach. They became Yoresh Shemayim. the milus of the avos and the shvat and the shiftei ka had an effect upon them. Ekev anava yiras Hashem meod meod havish shal ruach. And what does Hashem tell Moshe? What's going to be the end of the gula when the gula finally happens and we succeed? What parchum shemos all about the sefer gula? The end. It's going to be v'nosati eschein ha'om hazebi einay mitzrayim. There's a relation between the beginning of the parasha and the end of this of the sefer of gula. Okay, now we come to the two. It's in Pirkei Avos. Okay, now we come to another idea we have here, Shifra and Pua. Paro approaches the two midwives. Who are these two women, Shifra and Pua? So Chazal tell us, one is Yocheved. Yocheved is Shifra, and Miriam is Pua. Why are they called by these funny names, Shifra and Pua? They would think because Shifra was Mishafaferes es Havlat. That when the baby was born, the job of the midwife was really just to deliver the baby. And after you deliver the baby is filthy, dirty, it's all soiled in blood in the afterbirth. And you give the baby to the mother, and you say to the mother, here's your dirty baby, you can diaper him, and here's the bill. That's all that was required of them. However, Shifra went overboard. Not only did she not bill the patient, she took the baby and she cleaned the baby. She mishafaferes es havolot. She bathed the baby, she cleaned the baby, she diapered the baby, she presented the baby to the mother. It's a beautiful child. What did Pua do? Pua's expertise was when the baby would cry, she knew how to pacify the child with different expressions, different sounds. She was an expert in this field, and she can pacify the baby. They went overboard. That's why they were called Shifra or Pua al Shem. They did more than what was required of them. Okay. Ma'isa Shahaya. There was once a person who went. There was once a Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe. He went far away to raise money for whatever he had to do, and he was told, "Come to this Balabas. He's very generous. He's very gracious. He will serve as your host." He comes in. He's there for a week. Everything is fine and good. This Balabas gets a reputation as being a very good host. So sure enough, next week comes another collector, another very great holy Rebbe, and he stays by this same Balabas. But this second Rebbe that stays by the Balabas, every few minutes, he's complaining to the Balabas, he's giving the Balabas mussar. "You didn't do this right. I see your children did this, and your wife did this, and the kashrus, this product doesn't have such a good hechsher, and this is no good, and that's no good," and this goes on for a whole week. After a week, the Balabas says to the Rebbe, "I don't understand. Last week, you know, stayed by me, even a bigger Rebbe, someone much bigger than you, and he didn't complain, everything was good, he complimented me, he thanked me, he praised my children, he praised my family, and you're just the opposite." So the Rebbe said to him, "Let me explain to you. Parsha Shemos, there were two midwives. One is Shifra and one is Pua. Chazal told us their names for a very important reason. The midwives, they represent the people who raise Klal Yisrael. They're really mishalim for the Gedolim. The Gedolei Hadar who have the responsibility to guide, to raise the Uman. The Uman is the nurse. The people who nurse Klal Yisrael. One is Shifra, one is Pua. Shifra means to make beautiful. Positive reinforcement. Everything is good. Look for the milus. Be positive. What's Pua? Pua means to make sounds. The connotation of Pua is to criticize. This is no good. That's no good. Everything is no good. Shifra is beauty. Shifra. As Mishafaferis, to make beautiful. Pua means to boo. To make sounds, to complain, to criticize. Everything is no good. In Klal Yisrael, there are two types of leaders. There are leaders, there are two types of nurses for Klal Yisrael. There are leaders who tell you everything is good, and there are leaders that tell you everything is no good. And that's how it has to be. There has to be a balance. There has to be positive reinforcement. There has to also be criticism. One without the other is no good. Too much positive reinforcement, you'll never come. There'll never be mussar. Too much mussar, you'll be depressed. You're not going to have any simchas achayim. There has to be a balance, and that's why there were two midwives. There wasn't just Shifra, and there wasn't just Pua. The two work together, the two complement one another. So you should be happy. Last week came the rabbi, they gave you all the compliments, he showed you what's good, and you should be mechazik what's good. I'm the counterpart, my mida, that's just how I am. I'm a person that's always looking for trouble. That's how I am. I see the chisronos, and you should take both of us together and use the criticism of me and the compliments of the other rabbi to better your life. Okay, that is now I just want to go a little step further. What came from Shifra, what came from Pur? So it says in the pasuk, "Vayetiv lakim lam yaldos." Hashem was good to them because they feared Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayas lohem batim. And what do Chazal say? Batim, batei kuhuna ulevia and batei malchus. Batei kuhuna and levia from Yocheved. Shifra, from Shifra came Kuhuna Ulevia, and from Miriam came Malchus. Now let's go a step further. This tells us, this gives us insight. What is the equal role of, there are two different branches of leadership in Klal Yisrael. There's the branch of the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, and there's the branch of Malchus, the Melech. The Melech and the Kohen Gadol, they work together. Each one has a different role. It's very hard, it's blurred. You can study Tanakh many times, it's very hard to understand what is really the difference, the different role, the function of the Melech versus the Kohen Gadol. Sometimes we find they're doing the same thing, they overlap with each other, or there were verses and sometimes even reversed. I mean, what exactly is going on? What is their exact role? So from this pasuk you learn their role. The primary role of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Kahuna, is Shifra. From Shifra. What is Shifra? It's look for the milas in Klal Yisrael. Build up the milas. Go out to the people, like we learned today in Divrei Hayamim. We learned today in Divrei Hayamim that Yehoshaphat, he sent out two groups. He sent out the Sarin from Shevet Yehuda, the first Pasuk, that was Pasuk Tes, Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Tes, the Sarin, the leaders of Yehuda, to go out to beat up the people, to force the people, and then he sent out the Levim and the Kohanim to teach the people. The role of the Kohanim come from Shifra. Shifra means to make beautiful. The role of the Kohanim is to look for the good, look for the milas. Look for good things and take those good things and build them up, develop them, build up positive reinforcement in Klal Yisrael. Pur, look for the chesronos, look for all the problems and fix the problems and whip people into shape. From Pur came Malchus. The role of the Melech is to whip the people into shape, to look for all the chesronos, look for all the problems and fix the problems. So here, a whole different appreciation of the two branches of Klal Yisrael, where it all comes from and where it goes. Shifra, Pur, positive versus the negative. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, because I think you told us this. When Aharon died, all Klal Yisrael weep for him. It says all Klal Yisrael.
When Moshe died,
only B'nai Yisrael.
Because Moshe was a Melech. Moshe had the status of Melech, and Aaron had the status of a Kahuna.
And I think you told
very
us,
good, so it fits in very well.
Sometimes has to make tough decisions. People don't like tough decisions.
That's what their role is. The role is to whip people into shape.
Aaron was a
Shifra. Oyev Shalom. Only the it comes all the way back from Shifra. Shifra and Pur. Okay, and while we're talking about Shifra and Pur, just one other interesting one other point. It says Vatechayena es Hayaladim. Medrash. I think this Medrash over here, and you got to be very scared now. I say Medrash. I have to tell you the source, but I believe the Medrash Rabbah on the pasuk here says Vatechayena es Hayaladim. What does it mean? It means they were mispalel. Fascinating Medrash. They were mispalel for the children. It was like we learn Vatechayena es Hayaladim. According to Rashi, means they beautified the children. When the baby came out, they cleaned the baby, they diapered the baby, they pacified the baby, they fed the baby before they gave the baby back to the mother. According to the Medrash, it's more than that. When the mother was going through a difficult labor, or if the midwife would come, I guess in advance would sense that maybe there are problems with this child, the midwives would be mispalel. It's amazing how many OBGYNs are mispalel for their patients. So how many doctors, for that matter? How many doctors? Well, so we have Rabbi Fruchter over here. Dr. Fruchter over here, but you think about it, a doctor, it's not just when you become my patient. Think about it. When you become my patient, you're not just my patient, I'm going to bill Oxford and Blue Cross. You are someone that I'm going to include every single day in my tefillos. So it's a whole new world. It's a whole new world to be a doctor. Now, unfortunately, doctors that do that are not necessarily the best doctors. So halacha l'maisa, the Gedolei Yisrael, they tell us, go to the best doctor, don't worry about the davening, that you do yourself and have other specialists. But can you imagine if you can synthesize a doctor who's also a tremendous Yerushalayim and will be mispalel for his patients, a very unique blend. That's exactly what Shifra and Puah did. Shifra and Puah, they were midwives, they were OBGYNs, but they were also, they gave life to the children through their koyach hatzvila. They were mispalal. And if they saw a child would come out with a defect, they were mispalal, it should not happen. If the baby would come out and wasn't breathing, a regular doctor would just know the baby is stillborn. They would be mispalal, the baby should come back to life. Tchias ha-nesim, the baby should be resuscitated. So this was the koyach of Adachen. So what does the pasuk say? That's the deeper meaning of what it means in the pasuk when it goes on to say that Hashem saw that they feared Hashem. What does it mean here that they were afraid of Hashem? Let's read the words of the pasuk. So they feared Hashem and they gave life. Doesn't say they let the baby live. They gave life to the baby. How do they give life to the baby? Through Yirah Hashem. The only way you can daven a Shmona Esrei, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The only way you can, the first thing you say when you daven is you say Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. When you wake up in the morning after Moda Ani, that's the first thing you're supposed to say. Why do we talk about Yiras Hashem? If there's no Yiras Shemayim, you might as well go back to sleep. There's no purpose of davening. The most elementary ingredient you need to daven anything is you have to recognize Lifnei Miata Oimed Yiras Shemayim. So the words of the pasuk fit very well. Better with the Medrash than the simple interpretation. They had Yirah Shemayim, they were afraid of Hashem, they were not afraid of Paro. That's absolutely correct. Not to take away from the Parashah and the Pasuk. They were afraid of Hashem, they were not afraid of Paro. They didn't care Paro would kill them. They had a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on a deeper level, when you learn the Medrash, V'techayen Esayelah, that means that they will misfollow, the Pasuk makes perfect sense. Reishis Chochma, you need Yirah Shemayim to David. V'atirena Hamayalus Lokim V'loyasuk HaShadim HaMelech Mitzrayim. And now they let the babies live, they will misfollow, that they would not let the babies die. They will misspell, the baby should live. And what was their reward? What were the batim? What is a kohen Levi? What is the melech? These are the people that are preoccupied with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Beis Elokim. A kohen Levi, they serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And even the melech's responsibility, the melech is a little bit different, a little more bare, but even look at David and Shlomo, he built the Milo, he went, his palace was built right next to the Beis HaMikdash. The batim that Hashem made for them were batei, or holy houses of kibesi based tefillah lechol ha'amim. So when this medrash says tefillah, it doesn't just change one word in the pasuk. It forces us to completely look at the entire parasha with a whole different focus. That the yira is a yira for davening, and the batim are batim which are based tefillah lechol ha'amim.
They already had a bias. You were based Yaakov girls.
Okay, next. Let's go to another idea. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakam Melchadosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. Rashi gives us two interpretations. A Melchadosh that did not know. What did he did not know? So Rashi says, he made believe he did not know who Yosef. Egypt had an obligation, was in debt to Yosef. If not for Yosef, they wouldn't exist. They would have starved. They all would have been dead by now. So Hakaras HaTov demanded that they should be good to Klal Yisrael, to Yosef's descendants, to Klal Yisrael. If not for Yosef, there would be no Mitzrayim. No, he can get away with it. He was a Melech Chodosh. That was ancient history. Now we're living in modern times. I don't know Yosef. I don't want to know from Yosef. I'm going to look the other way. I'm not going to fulfill my obligation to be Makir Toiv to the people who have allowed us to survive this long. Okay, that is the similar interpretation. That's what Rashi says. There's a fascinating Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel. And the Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel says, that Shelo Yoda es Yosef, he did not remember the Gezeris of Yosef. It doesn't just mean he did not remember who Yosef was, the obligation they had towards Yosef. He did not remember the Gezera of Yosef. Well, what does that mean? The Gezerah of Yosef? Yosef, when years ago, when there was a famine, his Gezerah was, all of the produce shall be put away in storage. That was the Gezerah. No one is allowed to eat the produce that grows. Some you can eat now, but the vast majority has to be put away in storage for the future. The essence of Yosef was, you have to plan for the future.
401k.
You gotta put away for your retirement. That's right. You gotta plan for the future. This was Yosef's chiddush. Now, it didn't just come out that Yosef planned for the future for Mitzrayim. He put in Mitzrayim a conscious that this world, everything that you do in this world, there's accountability. There's another world. This world is just a trachlin, it's just a prozdar to the palace. He put in Egypt with his hanhaga of planning for the famine, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. Every action you do, there will be din v'cheshbon in the next world. For goyim as well. You're not allowed to live a life of afkeris. You have to prepare for the future. Hashem is sending us a famine sending us years of plenty to prepare us what's coming to the future. Now Paro died. And now we have a new Paro. And Paro, Vayakam el chodesh al Mitzrayim asher lo yoda es Yosef. He didn't want to live with this hashkafa. This hashkafa was not what he was in. He wanted to live, to enjoy, live for now. You eat to live, and you live to eat. You don't, there is no accountability what's going to be in the future. It was a rejection of the hashkafa of Yosef. And then when Egyptians went into this new form of life, of living for the moment, to enjoy the moment, not thinking about the future, they looked at the Jews, and they saw the Jews, but they live a life where they there's meaning. They're planning for something. They're living a life. They're planning for Olam Haba. They're doing Torah mitzvos to fill up their neshama for the next world. This disturbed the Egyptians to no end, because they knew Klal Yisrael was right. They knew that is why they could not tolerate them. And they had to come up with every possible excuse to get rid of the Jews, because it was the conscience of the Egyptians. He did not remember the gezerah of Yosef. The gezerah of Yosef carries with it plan for the future. We don't want to plan for the future. We want to live for now. You want to live for now, but you know it's wrong. Who's living now? Who's living for the future? The Jews. Now we understand why suddenly all of a sudden we have all the excuses. We have to find excuses, because these people, they're going to cause us much trouble. Okay, let's jump to a part at the end of the parasha. End of the parasha, and this part is also found in the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha. We're going to focus on the difference between the word madua and the word
lama.
How do you know I was going to say that? Okay, you heard already my drasha. Okay, in the beginning of the parasha we have Vayikra Melech Mitzrayim Lam Yaldos Vayomer Lohen Madua Asisen Hadavar Hazeh. Pasuk could have for the same money could have said Lama Asisen Hadavar Hazeh. Okay? End of the parasha. Let's go to the end of the parasha. The taskmasters, at the end of the parasha, they were told they have to collect straw. There was a new gezerah. You have to go out and collect straw. And they were not able to collect enough straw and produce enough bricks on time. So the Egyptians beat the people in charge. Okay, I have to go back. Atem luchu kichu taven v'hanogsim otzim leimor kalu vasechem zayim b'yamol kasher b'yos taven v'ayuku shoytrei b'nei Yisrael. They beat them. Asher somo leim nogsei faro leimor. They were beaten. V'ayuku means they were beaten. The officers, the Jewish officers that were in charge to make sure that the Jewish slaves produced enough bricks were beaten. Asher samu aleihem nogsei paro leimor, that were appointed by the officer paro. Why were they beaten? Madua lo chilisem chokam lilbon kismol l'shulshan. Why have you not produced a quota? Why have you not produced enough bricks? Gam tmol gam hayom. Now the question is, let's first analyze, why do we sometimes, does the Torah say the word lama, and sometimes do we say the word madua? So I saw this in the Sefer called, I forgot the name. The Mechaber is Rabbi, last name is Rabbi Shane. He is a Rosh Yeshiva in Staten Island. Rav Moshe, Rav Reuven Feinstein's yeshiva. I forgot the name of the sefer. So he elaborates. He brings many psukim throughout Tanakh. Madua is always used when you want to know an answer. There's something that you don't know and you want to know an answer. Lama is a rhetorical question. I know the answer. I'm just taunting you. Let me give you a few examples. We have this week's parasha. Madua mihartem hayom. When the daughters of Yisro return quickly, when they return early, so Yisro says, Madua, how come today you have come back an hour ahead of schedule? Every day you will come back much later in the day from the well. Why is it today you've arrived earlier? Yisro wanted to know the answer. He wasn't asking a rhetorical question. Why have you come back early? What happened today? Was there were other people? How come normally you have to wait in line? How did you go to the front of the line?
How about the end of the parasha when it's Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk chabeis? This is the word lama.
Oh, so
you knew the answer?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, lama harioso. Yes, that's exactly the point. This is a very good example. Lama harioso lama hazeh. When it comes to Hashem, you're not looking for answers. It's a rhetorical question. I can't deal with this. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, based upon this interpretation, lama harioso lama hazeh, lama zeh shlachtani. You don't question Hashem's ways. Excellent. Moshe Rabbeinu was wise enough to know Hashem has his reasons. And Moshe was expressing his frustration. Exactly. Lama is always is a rhetorical question, meaning it's an expression of frustration. Hashem, you're doing it, you're doing it for whatever you're doing. If you question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that borders on apikursis. Actually, I don't want to say that really. A person a lot of ask questions, but when the day is over, you have to acknowledge that Kiloi Machshav Osai, Machshav Osechem, Loi Darchem Derochai, Hashem has his reasons. We have no understanding of why Hashem does things. That's not for us to ask. Moshe here was just frustrated. Exactly why he used the word Lama. But when you say the word Madua, you are expecting a logical answer. Yisro, Madua Panechem Rohim Hayom, exactly, by Yosef and the Sar, Hoifim, the Sar Mashkim, I want to know an answer. Tell me the answer. What has happened? Yisro, another example, Madua Ato Yosef Levadecha. Yisro said to Moshe, why are you sitting alone? Why don't you have a group of assistants? And Moshe gave him the logical explanation, because people want me. They don't want just to get the answer. They want to have the experience of dealing with their leader. So there was a logical explanation. That's why the word Madua is correct. But when you have the word Lama, it's frustration. Even Hashem spoke to Kayin. Hashem said to Kayin, Lama Panecha Charulach. Why is your face? Hashem knows the answer. Hashem knows everything. So why did Hashem say this to Kayin? Lama Panecha Charulach. Why is your face angry? Why you have a down face? Because I know why. Because you're running away from me. You killed someone. So that's the difference between Lama and Madua. What? So, right, exactly. Same thing. You're not questioning. Why are you angry? No, I'm frustrated. I'm expressing my frustration. Why? Don't be angry. So this is a very important principle of why you say Lama, why you say Madua. I'll give you another classic example, which this requires more explanation, the Manishtana. How does the Manishtana begin? Ma. Ma is similar to Lama. Ma is the same shorish as Lama. Ma nishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylos. Shabchol, l'sadukh l'mukham etzimata lazeh, matza. So if you were writing the Manishtana, what would you say? Madua. The child wants to know the answer. Isn't that what it's all about? The child is there sitting by the table. Madua nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. So why is this night? I want to know the answer. And isn't that what we give the answer? Avad mi nulfaro. So you know the answer is? Exactly. The child doesn't need to, the child already knows the answer. We have to think about it. There's a lot of depth in this. Why the word lama? The child is not looking to get the answer specifically to this question. The child's looking for something a lot more. The child knows, in other words, the child, there are many answers to this question. It's a very popular question. Manishtana is from the beginning of the Seder, so you know, before everyone goes off on their way and gets distracted. But one of the answers with the child, I don't just want to know the answer to this specific question of why tonight we're eating matzah and every other night we eat chametz. You'll give me an answer in 2 minutes because Hashem takes out of Mitzrayim. I want to understand the big picture. So my question is not specific to this question. I'm just picking an example of something that I see is different on the table. I sense that something is very different, and I sense that what is different is everything. It changes our whole way of living, our whole life. So, Ma, tell me what's going on here. I want to know the big picture, not just the answer to this little teeny detail. If you would say, Ma, Dua, I just want to know this detail. Explain to me, tonight we're eating matzah, and last night we ate chametz. I'll give you the answer in 2 seconds. But it's not going to explain to you why you're a Jew, where you come from, where you're going, what your destiny is, what your tafkid in life is. What is Klal Yisrael about? What is the purpose of life? The child senses that this little detail, in this little detail lies much, much bigger things, and that's why it's an expression of frustration. Don't just give me the answer to the detail. Give me the big picture. Manishtana halal za. I'm picking up on one little thing. Okay, that's one little prat to explain the manishtana, why we use the word ma, which is a lama. But now coming back to the question over here, when it comes to the yaldos in the beginning of the parsha, madua asti sen hadavor hazev atachayen esayeladim. And why at the end of the parsha did the nokseh Paro beat the, when they beat the taskmasters of the Jews, do they say the word Madua? Why is the word Madua? Should they know what the answer is? The answer is because the people just can't keep up with the program. They can't do it. Why is Paro saying to Madua? Paro knows the answer because you're rebelling against me. You don't hold for me. Paro, that's why you're doing it. He knows the answer. He's just frustrated. You're not a good soldier. You're my servant. You're not a good servant. I told you to do something and you're not doing it. You're rebelling against me. You just want to rebel. The word lama seemingly would be more appropriate in both of these instances. So from his right shame, another farish, when he brings another farish, say the same exact thing is, there's a lot more going on over here. The Yaldos, not only did they let the children live, like we mentioned, they were mespalu for the children, they cleaned the children, they pacified the children, they went the extra mile. The taskmasters, at the end of the parasha, Rashi makes it very clear they could have forced the people to do it. The people, if the people would want to whip them into shape, the Jews who were in charge, to get all of the other fellow Jews to make enough bricks, they could have done it. However, they had Rachmanis on them, and the price of having Rachmanis and not forcing them to produce the quota of bricks was that they would have to bear the brunt of punishment and suffer. A goy has no hasag of this concept. Someone who's not part of the Avos, Avraham, Ben, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, has no hasag why you would do a chesed at your own personal expense and why you would go the extra mile. It's just, why? What do you get out of this? We live in a world where the only thing that counts is the bottom line. What counts is the dollar. If you'll make money, maybe sometimes you'll be some social grace in order so you can make more money. But when there's not going to be any profit, just to do a chesed, l'shem chesed, to take away tzar from someone else when the price is that you're going to have to suffer, or you're going to go and you're going to take care of the babies when you're going to get out of this absolutely nothing. You're a government employee. You're not going to get any bonus. There's no social grace that's going to get you anything. So why are you going? And therefore, Paro precisely used, and the Nokseh Mitzrayim precisely used the word Madua, because they really are looking for this answer. It really bothers them to know and to understand logically. They really want to understand logically, why are you going the extra mile? If it's just a question of why are you doing this, we're frustrated, you're not good servants, you're rebelling against us, you're trying to show us up. Okay, I understand. Then we'll say, Lama, you're good for nothing, you're rebelling, we'll punish you, we'll kill you, we'll torture you. But you have a way out. You don't have to suffer. You can do it. And the Mialdos, you're doing things that are beyond your requirements. So what's going on here? It doesn't make sense. That's the difference between the B'nai Avraham, Yitzhak, the Yaakov, and the Umos HaOlam. They really don't get it. And there are different examples in this world. You see this every so often. You have non-Jewish workers and they get a glimpse into your lifestyle, and they see chesed on Klal Yisrael, and they're overwhelmed. And in the news not so long ago, what happened, there was a...
Yeah, Friday. 20. You mean with the found money?
The lot of the Hubble stories. I was thinking about the floods. Where was it? I forgot what was
Denver.
It? In Denver, no, in the Philippines. The Philippines. It was all the news. They were nishtoiming. Nishtoiming from the Anhaga of how they dealt the care. Like, what do you get out of this? Why do you go? Why do you go so far? What do you, madua? It's not just. It's not a frustration. It's bewilderment to understand the logical reason. And the answer is because we are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, and this has been mushras in our midos, on us to do chesed to other people. Yeah.
How does it? I think it fits perfectly with the term Lama Yomru Hagoyim.
Yeah. Lama Yom Ragim Ayeno Eloheim. Lama Yom Ragim. There's frustration. There it's just they know the answer. They know the answer. It's just a matter of they're frustrated. Why should they say such incorrect? This is a theme which is consistent throughout Tanakh. The difference between Lama and Madua. In this week's parasha, we have the very beginning and the very end. It seems out of place. It forces us to take a deeper look into what is taking place, and then we can better appreciate why indeed the word Madua is appropriate. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is a very good idea. It's a very good word for a Sheva Brachas. Anyone have a Sheva Brachas this week? I probably told it to you last. Probably told you last year. This word is one of my favorite verluch for Sheva Brachas. It says here in this week's parasha, Miriam did something amazing. Miriam, when Moshe was born, let's take a step back. At the beginning of the parasha, Amram got divorced from Yocheved. Why should we continue? What's the purpose? So then along comes Miriam. Miriam comes to her father and says, "You're worse than Parah. Parah was Gaza only on the Nekevos, and you guys are filu ala zucharim." There's a lot more to that, and he agrees. He agrees to the young generation, and he get remarries. And sure enough, Moshe Rabbeinu was born shortly thereafter. And when he was born, the whole bayis is mole or And at that point in time, I'm forgetting the Midrashim, he kissed her and she prophesied that this child that will be born will be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. She gave off a nevuah when he was born. The bais was in the Smali Oira, and she pronounced these words. What happened? Shortly thereafter, 3 months later, he was caught and he was taken out to be killed. Moshe was taken out. Moshe lo yochel haspino od. I'm sorry. He was different interpretations.
6 months.
6 months. That's what Rashi here says. Right to 6 months, and therefore they wouldn't be cool. They had no choice. They put him. They put him on the table. They sent him out. And at that moment in time, Aaron was very frustrated. He said to Miriam, "No, Miriam, where's your prophecy? You said that this one's going to be the Moshiach Yisrael, and here he's about to die. He's about to die. We have no choice." So Miriam says, "Don't worry. You'll see. Trust me. You'll see." And she, from everyone else, everyone went home. It appears that everyone went home. No one was there. Aaron went home. His mother, Yochanan, went home. Aaron, there's a medrash that says Aaron was there. There is such a medrash, but that's not for now. But let's assume Aaron was not there. The only one that was there was Miriam. And the pasuk says, "Vate satsav achaso mechok lidayah ma'i osalo." She knew that he would be saved. She wanted to see how. She had so much emun, it wasn't a question of if, it was a question of how. That's what Rashi says. Ma'yos, how is this going to play out? I got to see this. This is going to be exciting. There's no way in the world he's going to die. Something amazing is going to happen, and indeed something amazing happened. In other words, her emuna was off the charts. Her emuna was one of a kind. To such a moon to go out and watch. Ma Yeoselo.
She took the typhim when they left Mitzrayim.
What?
She took the typhim. She took the symbols when they left Mitzrayim.
Out to the right. She took it when they left. Okay.
She's the only one who had the.
It's an amazing expression of emunah. Now let's go fast forward to Parsha Shalach. Parsha Shalach.
Amram.
Oh, so right, he slapped her. The Medrash says that Amram slapped Yocheved. Where's your nevuah? You said that he's going to be the Moshiach Yisrael. Here we're throwing him to the water. Let's fast forward to the Meraglim. There were 12 Meraglim. 10 were a lost cause. They were corrupt from the very beginning. 2 were tzaddikim, Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua, Moshe was a little concerned. Moshe was concerned about, so Moshe said, Yeshua, before you go, you know, you can go either way. The other 10, there's no hope. They're already goners. But you, Yeshua, you know, you can go both ways. You're susceptible to bad influence. But you know what? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you a bracha. Moshe gave Yeshua a bracha, and the bracha of Moshe put him over the top, protected him from the bad influence of the other 10 Meragim. What about Kalev? How come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give him a bracha? Kalev went to the... So Kalev, and indeed some of Farshim say, Kalev was very worried. He also could have gone both ways. Kalev went to the Kivyanos. Kalev, he went to Hebron. Yeshua didn't go to Hebron, because Yeshua had the bracha from Moshe, so he took the day off. He had vacation. But Kalev, on his vacation day, he went to the Ars Machpelah to be mispalel, that he should not be influenced by the Meraglim. But the Pasuk says a little bit different. Pasuk says, ki kol... Okay. You remember the word? Wow, good memory. Im yiru es aretz asher nishpati lav esam, they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'chol min atzai lo yiru, all those who are angry are not going to see it. But the avdi kolev, my servant kolev, ekev, because hoisa ruach acheres imo, there was another ruach imo, he followed after me, he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So I think who says this part, if not mistaken, Rabbi Yashiv says this. When you ever believe Rabbi Yashiv will say this part, Rabbi Yashiv says, you know what it means here in the Pasuk? When it means the Pasuk, Al Derech Drush, of course, that it was a Ruach Acheres Imo, his wife was with him. He was married to Miriam. And Miriam was the person that had the most incredible of faith in Hashem. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how. Oh, so Eretz Yisrael is dominated by 31 mighty kings and Sichon and Og and giants. It's not a question of if we'll conquer Eretz Yisrael. It's only a question of how we'll conquer Eretz Yisrael. This was the life that Kalev lived, because he was under the influence of his wife, Miriam.
Why didn't you go to the Karam?
Why? It's a tourist. another thing. It's another teretz. But it's a beautiful vart. Ruach acheres imo. Unbelievable vart. The ruach acheres that was imo was the koach of his wife, and that's what protected Miriam. Is what protected him from falling prey to any influence. Okay, let's go to another vart. What?
Moshe Rabbeinu gave beracha to Yehoshua.
Moshe Rabbeinu gave beracha.
And his sister Miriam gave beracha to Kalev.
Yeah, Miriam protected Kalev. She was a good wife, and she told him what to do. You listen to your wife, you'll always be okay. You'll always be okay. Someone told me a very, very good joke. I listened to Rabbi Kefet. He said, this is a very, very good joke. He said that at home, he says, we have Shalom Bayis. My home, this Shalom Bayis.
Who says this?
Rabbi Rakefet. Rabbi Aaron Rakefet. We have Shalom Bayis. Why do we have Shalom Bayis? Because at home, I make, what's the secret to success? I at home make all of the big decisions, and my wife makes all of the little decisions, and that's the secret to Shalom Bayis. But what do I mean by big decisions? I make all the big decisions. All the big decisions. I decide who will be the next president of the United States. I decide if we should attack Iran. I decide who the next prime minister will be. I decide the economy. I make the decisions on the budget of the world. Those are the big decisions, and I decide everything else. My wife decides. Everything. And I mean everything. That's why there's Shalom Bayis. Ruach Acheres Imam. Okay, we have to, I want to talk.
If the wife tells him, don't make big decisions, shut up. You should shut up.
That's an old one.
Let's go to another avar. Now, the next avar I saw in the name of the Prit Tzadik. Prit Tzadik. Who is the Prit Tzadik?
Does it
Shem Shmuel,
the same guy?
No, okay, yeah? I don't think so. One of the earlier Acharonim. the early Achronim, one of the very holy Achronim. If I would say this, he would say it's not because of what I'm about to tell you. And probably, if you, it's shocking what he says. It's frightening. It's very frightening what he says. And
what's his name?
The pre-tzaddik. The name of the savior is the pre-tzaddik. The pre, one of the very big rabbis. Chassid, I think. It's a chassidisha. Is it the pre-tzaddik? I don't remember who's the author. It's one of the very old Hasidic Sfarim. He says something that is shocking. It sounds like a Kotzkevart. I would say this is a Kotzkevart. I would say, okay, this is a Kotzkevart. What does it say? There's a Medrash on this week's Parasha towards the end. This is on the page. This is the Medrash Rabbah on the spot. Spot on. Very popular Medrash that's quoted by many, many Farshim. Paro, he hears all the complaints. He says to them, what are you doing, Moshe? You're coming to me, you're making trouble. You're making trouble over here. Vayitzav Paro, got to find the right pasuk. Vayitzav Paro yom ha'hulas ha'noksim ba'am. V'yashayit rav lemor lo, so sifun lo seiz tevin lam lulbon ha'levenim kismol shulshoim. Don't. Rav Tzadik HaKohen? Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. Lublin, yeah, Rav Tzadik. Okay, Rav Tzadik, you can't do better than that. Rav Tzadik. Make it more difficult for them. Let them work hard. Powerful words. Enough of this nonsense. Do not let them rely their yishu. Do not let them rely, according to the Targum Unkelus, it says, V'lo yis askun. Let them not busy themselves, bepiskomin bitelin, in words of nonsense. What does this mean? What it so simply means that the people are planning to rebel. Moshe is telling me that the people want to go out to the desert and offer sacrifices to a god that I never heard of for 3 days. It's nonsense. What are you talking about? This is crazy. Get back to work. You have too much time on your hands. You know what? I'm not going to give you the tevin. You go and you get the tevin yourself. Maybe you won't have time to talk these crazy ideas of going out to the desert and bring sacrifices to a god they never heard of. That's the simple interpretation of the pasuk. The Medrash says, and yeah, there's a lot of background to this Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu at one point in time during the Shiva, he approached Paro and he said, you know, Paro, there's a seven day work week. It's too much. It's not healthy. I'll show you. I have a PhD in this matter. Studies have shown that if you give them one day off, they're much more productive. And he made a presentation. He showed what goes on in America. He showed what goes on in Europe. He showed productivity increases when you give people off one day. So Paro bought into it. He sat there at the table with the board. And Paro said, what do you think? And they had a debate, and Paro said, you know, it's good. No, it's a serious medrash. He convinced Paro they'll be more productive if you give them one day vacation. Moshe, that wasn't his intent. Moshe wasn't interested in all the studies. Moshe, it was an excuse to get them together. They should observe Shabbos. They wanted Shabbos, Kodesh, and Shabbos to offer work. Oh, Nochel Shabbos. The Torah wasn't giving yet, but he was preparing them for the coming of Shabbos. What is Shabbos? And Moshe Rabbeinu on that day, he taught them Torah, he was mechazik them, and he composed a Megillah. The Megillah, what we say on Shabbos,
this Mizmar
on Shabbos, how could I forget the Mizmar? How could I forget this? Tefillah L'Moshe. Tefillah L'Moshe, Yeshua Elokim. This Mizmar in Tehillim, Mizmar Tzadi, seemingly, according to this Medrash, really came from Moshe, not David. David compiled many Mizmarim, Tefillah, and they actually said this. This was their davening on Shabbos. They didn't have the Nusach. Tefillah L'Moshe, Yeshua Elokim, Hashem, O'Nato, and Yitaka, read the words over here. It fits perfectly into what was taking place in the Mitzrayim, and it gave the people the chizuk to do not worry. We're going to leave Mitzrayim. Lahagid baboker chastecha v'emunoscha balelos. We have to have faith. We have to have faith that we're going to leave Egypt. Samchenu kimos inisanu shnos reinu ra'ah All of these expressions, they tie into what was happening in the time of Mitzrayim. He was mechazik then. Those are the words. So Paro had spies, and it was brought to Paro, this Mizmar. And Paro wanted to know, what exactly are they doing on Shabbos? I gave them a day off. They're off from work, and they're resting, and I know that this person, their leader, Moshe, gathers them together, and he's reading to them this Mizmar, and he's being mechazik them with words of emunah, of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're eventually going to leave Mitzrayim. So he was referring very specifically, not just to Moshe's talk, Moshe's speech, he was referring, the Divrei Sheker that Paro was referring to, according to the Medrash, are the Megillos. What is the Megillos? These documents that Moshe has passed around to Bnei Yisrael, which later was incorporated. It's not only this Mizmah, the other Mizmah that are scattered out, different sections, different pieces here and different psukim, different Megillos, which mention expressions of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim. Okay, now these Mizmarim are very holy. These Megillos are very holy. They're very holy. The proof is that they're included in Ksuvim. They were eventually incorporated into maybe even to the Torah, the Vim Ksuvim, whatever exactly they were. So the Pre-Tzaddik asks a very powerful question. The question is much better than any answer you can possibly give. Being that this, according to the Medrash, this refers to actual Megillos, documents. They're holy documents. And there's no question, every word of the Torah and Tzuvim and Nevim is emes, is the ultimate emes. So even though Paro is maybe rejecting, I don't want to hear from this, how could the Torah, the Holy Torah, record these Megillos by referring to them as Divrei Sheker? If the Medrash is correct, that there were Megillos that were distributed and were later incorporated into Nevim and Ksuvim, the Torah wouldn't lightly. even if Paro actually said the words, Paro called it Divrei Sheker. Paro would call it Divrei Sheker. The Torah would find a way to. We don't have every word Paro said. There were volumes and volumes. If you would have a recording of the conversation that went on, the NSA wouldn't have enough hard drives to store all the data. There were conversations, there were the people's discussion that was going on. The Torah records the essence of what was said. It's just very hard for us to understand, the Pre-Tzaddik, if Tzaddik says, why the Torah would say, Al Yeshu B'Divrei Sheker. Don't pay attention to these words of Sheker. They're not Divrei Sheker. L'hagid baboker chastecha v'emunoscha balelos is Sheker. How could the Torah refer to as Divrei Sheker? Good kasha? It's a very powerful question. So you're telling me it's not Hashem speaking, it's what how Paro look. Okay, that's an answer. That's a very good answer. That's a very simple answer. Okay, he's a Kofer Paro. In Echnam, he's a Kofer. It's a good answer. Okay, but Rabbi Wolfson, Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, in Sefer Munasei Tech, he quotes this Pre-Tzaddik, and his whole piece, he elaborates, he brings many rayos where the Torah goes out of its way not to actually say it the way it was because you don't want to say something like that. That's another idea. So the Pre-Tzaddik says something that's very, very frightening. It's very frightening, and it's very much nogea us. He says, you know why it says Divrei Sheker? Because the people themselves, the people in Klal Yisrael that were listening, they also didn't believe what it said. They didn't believe what it said. They read it. Most, the words are MS. The words are MS, no question about it. But Paro was saying, you also don't believe it. The people in Klal Yisrael, you also think it's Sheker. Because if you really believed it, you would have been out of here a long time ago. And not only that, what's the proof? The proof is that Yitzias Mitzrayim was really meant to be the ultimate Geula. That was meant to be. Mashiach was supposed to come, leave Mitzrayim, rebuild, we go Matan Torah, with no Chedo Egel, and shortly thereafter we come to Eretz Yisrael, build Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach comes, whatever happens, however the world goes, the world goes. Whatever that means. What happened? What happened was we weren't ready to leave. We were supposed to really be there for 400 years. We were supposed to be there for 400 years. Hashem saw if we stay there 400 years, you're not going to be around. So therefore, I have to take you out early. What's the consequence of leaving early? Of me doing you this favor of taking you out only after 210 years? There's going to be another three Golios. there's going to be a Beis Hamish that's going to be destroyed once, twice, and there's going to be 2,000 years of goals and filled with the Bayis Shlishi. Moshe says, Shlach no biat hishlach. Moshe says, there's not going to be the goal acharon, so I don't want, I'm not interested. I want results. I don't want to just be part of the process. I want results. You don't want, I'm not going to be the goal. So send Mashiach, I'm not interested. Shlach no biat hishlach. Why wasn't Yitzias Mitzrayim the ultimate geula? Scary words, because Moshe already gave them Divrei Megillah. He gave them already the secret, the code to redemption. And Klal Yisrael, they said, yeah, it's good. We would shuckle, we kavana, we daven, but do we really believe it? We ourselves are lacking in our amuna, and by us, it's a shtickle. A shtickle divrei shoker, and that's why we have all the problems. And that's why the Torah wrote it, divrei shoker, to emphasize it's not just a power. If it was a power divrei shoker, I wouldn't allow that. I wouldn't write the Torah. But for Klal Yisrael, you also don't believe it. I got to let you know that you're not believers. You got to work on this. And that's what we're working on. The goal is, to change, to transform the pagam in the divrei shoker to divrei emes. Should be divrei emes. Okay, with that, we will conclude. Have a wonderful Shabbos.